Today, the Good Shepherd leads us to springs of living water through the 23rd Psalm. You can look it up if you like, but most of you know it by heart. I suppose it would be a bit disconcerting in our culture if I just said, if you knew it in German, say it in German. If you knew it in Swedish or Norwegian, say it that way. It's one of the things I love about worshiping with the Chinese. They will say things in Mandarin or Cantonese, whichever, and then we say our parts in English, and God understands all of it. But let's say the 23rd Psalm in English together, and I think most of us know it in the King James Version, so we'll say it that way. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We focus today on those words, He leads me beside quiet waters. We pray. Lord, lead us as you are so desirous to do, our good shepherd, and we your sheep. Amen. One of the difficulties we have in our urban culture today is that most of us have had very little experience with raising animals at all, much less sheep. My experience amounts to one weekend in high school when I went from Mobridge, South Dakota to Flasher, North Dakota to the Meyer farm. It was lambing season, and the lambing shed was so filled with ammonia that it just burned my face. It looked like I was chapped from being out in the wind and the sun. And the rest of the stories from the lambing shed I will not put on you today because they would help you lose your breakfast. But a friend of mine was herding his uncle's sheep and told me this story, how he was not their shepherd, so they did not recognize the sound of his voice. When Jesus says in John chapter 10 that the real shepherd can go into the sheep pen, he's talking about mixed flocks in there, and the shepherd can go in and just start talking and then walk out, and his sheep will follow along. It's just an amazing fact about sheep, especially the way they herd them in the east, in the Middle East, where David was writing in Psalm 23, and as Jesus speaks about that, it's not like Western shepherds who drive their sheep with dogs. The good shepherd leads with the sound of his voice. So my friend, herding his uncle's sheep, was trying to get them along a country road that was paved, but it had just rained, and they came to where the road was just covered with water, a whole half inch deep. He could not get the sheep to go through that water for anything. He went to the other side. He called them. He tried to push them. He did everything he could imagine to get the sheep to cross that dangerous patch of water. But they didn't know his voice. They didn't trust him. So finally, he picked up one of the prominent ewes and carried her across the water. And then the rest of the sheep followed. This picture of the shepherd with the sheep is one that is throughout the scriptures. Ezekiel 34. I'll read from Isaiah in a second. John chapter 10, the good shepherd chapter. He wants us to know him so well that we understand and recognize the sound of his voice and just follow as sheep following their faithful, loving shepherd. But there are times when we are so fearful and so wrapped up in our own anxieties that the good shepherd will come and pick us up and carry us. Whatever it takes, that he will do. In Isaiah chapter 40, He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. He wants us to know him so well that we can be boasting like the sheep in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. It's great to be with him because he leads me beside quiet waters. I used to think that sheep are always found in arid places without much water because nothing else can grow there, nothing else can live there. It's like the last place on earth, so they put sheep there. Found out from this book that we've used here before, back in 1991 and again in 1996, I preached a series of summer sermons on A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller. If you don't have that book, you should get it. Some of you still have it from years ago. I got to read about a third of it again yesterday. Just beautiful pictures of taking care of sheep by Philip Keller, who was raised in East Africa. So he saw the way Eastern shepherds take care of their sheep. And then he became a sheep man and actually an agriculture teacher in both Canada and the United States, and a lay preacher as well. So his heart is really in the 23rd Psalm, which was written by another shepherd named David, the son of Jesse, outside of Bethlehem. So Philip Keller explains it's not that, you know, it's the last place on earth, etc. It's that sheep need arid places to live because they need a dry climate where there won't be so many nematodes and flukes and parasites and stuff in the water, or you know, all the sickness and disease that can be in a jungle-type environment, that would just kill the sheep. So they need the arid places, but they also need a lot of water. They don't have seven stomachs like, what is it, a camel? Or they can't just feed off the vegetation like a gazelle in Africa and just have that be enough for them, typically. They need water, and they need a shepherd to lead them to the water. Sheep are 70% water in their body, and that water helps all the cells to work, the metabolism that goes on, the life functions, all depend on that water, fresh water coming to them. And if they don't have that, they'll get sick, diseased, and weak and miserable, kind of like so many people in our day and age too. If they come to church, they don't listen. They talk among themselves. They don't listen to what's being said because they think they don't need it. They may not come to church at all because, after all, there are all sorts of water sources out there where they can go to get their water. And meanwhile, they're getting sick at heart, sick deep down inside their soul, and they don't even need it, don't even know it, and their need for the shepherd to lead the sheep. So they're constantly running here and there, drinking from this source and that source, in a world of religions that all have the same message. I had to tell this to a young man in a store yesterday. He had been married officially to a Jewish girl that went back to Israel, and he's heartbroken. Didn't really show it on his face, but you could tell. He loved her. Now she's gone. But I hear the Jews tell their story, and I hear the Muslims tell their story, and I'm a Christian, and I don't know what to believe. It's as simple as this, I told him. All the world's religions say, do this and do that. And only the religion of the Bible, only the Good Shepherd says, done. It is finished, Jesus said, as he gave up his life, the shepherd laying down his life for the sheep. It's no more complicated than that. All the world's religions and every false doctrine that gets into the church that perverts the word of the Good Shepherd and pollutes the water, it's all just that religion of do and do, do and do, instead of done by God in Christ. So we need the Good Shepherd to lead us. We need him to take us to the water sources where we can quench our thirsty need. Philip Keller explains that there are three sources of clean water for sheep. One of them you probably thought of before, but we'll save that for last. The first one never would have dawned on me. Sheep can go for months without actually drinking. It's true. They need lots of water. They don't have to get it from drinking. They can get it by following their shepherd out a little before dawn into the dewy meadows where that bright, beautiful, crystal clear water hangs on the grass that God brings out of the air. The dew on the grass, if it's thick, even in the moonlight, the shepherd leading his sheep can get them out there feeding when it's cool in the dewy meads. He leads my wandering steps, right, to the dewy meads, and they eat, they're refreshed, and then they lie down in the shade and the heat of the day and chew the cud, as they say, ruminating, and they grow and flourish. Philip Keller said he had sheep that would go in 100 days. Can you imagine this? 100 days from a newborn lamb to a 100-pound sheep. That's a pretty good-sized animal because of good pasture and good clean water, when the shepherd knows how to lead the sheep out into the dewy meadows. And that, my dear friends, is the secret to the contented life. To Christians who seem to have it all together and understand how to deal with things and cope with life. They get up early. They follow the good shepherd out into the rich pastures of his word. They would not think of running out of the house without prayer and a moment, even a word or a verse from the Bible. Just not going to happen. Because they want the good shepherd, and they want him more than anything else in the entire world. It does not help to be thirsty in your soul and then run out into the everyday world out there with obnoxious, evil people and a sinful heart and thirst inside until you have quenched your thirsty need with the good shepherd, who just loves to see his sheep out there in the quiet of the morning with him, knee-deep in that grass, eating and drinking the water of life at the same time. When your soul is satisfied and you are at peace and you are strong in the Lord, that is honor to the good shepherd's name. And the sheep says, "The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me to springs of living water, to the quiet waters, because there he restores my soul on that water." In East Africa, they would dig deep wells to get down to the water. But they would have to have trails that would go down and circle around deep into that well where the sun is beating down from above, and it's a dusty, rocky trip down there, and it looks kind of scary to get down into that deep well. And most people, remember, the things that we see in the physical world are meant to illustrate the spiritual world so we can see what's actually happening beyond our physical sight. So the Lord uses these pictures of the shepherd with the sheep and the deep well waters to remind us of how people will, well, in Jeremiah it says they dig their own cisterns. In Israel today, they're so short on water, they still have cisterns that catch rainwater. The Israelis are masters at taking salt water and turning it into fresh water, but that's expensive. It takes fuel. If they can catch rainwater and save it, they can use that for many things, and they still do. In Jeremiah's day, though, he talked about how, yeah, you dig a cistern, and you plaster it all over, but it's got holes in it. What good is that going to do to catch all the rainwater and then your broken cisterns drain out all the water? That is what most people are hearing in the world of churches today. Pastors that will go on and on with great inspiring stories, tell you many things that you'd really like to hear, but they're broken cisterns. It all just drains out. as quickly from the cistern as it drains from your soul. But the good shepherd will lead his sheep down and around to that clear, clean water deep in the well. But it's not always a pleasant place to be. It looks like a dark and scary place to the sheep when you lose a loved one, when you're sick, when life just feels like it's closing in on you, and sometimes it feels like that hole is going to cave in on you. It's not a happy place to be in the deep wells of God. If you think you're alone. But as you keep your eyes on the Good Shepherd and as you hear his voice, you remember that you didn't get down into that deep well by yourself. You did not choose that place to go. He led you there. He leadeth me. And I fear no evil as he leads me. Philip Keller said that as a boy, he would look down into those deep wells, and there was always some African shepherd down there just bailing water out as much as he could bail out for his sheep. And he was just glistening with sweat because he was working so hard in the heat. No breeze down that far. You're just in the heat of the sun. But all his strength and all his energy, he would just pour out to pour that water so that his sheep could live and flourish in the heat of the desert. You are not alone deep down in the wells of God. As you hear your good shepherd's voice, realize, I said, Jesus says, I will be with you always. Literally, it's every day. I will be with you all the days to the gathered goal of the age, till everything comes together in my good plan for you. I will be right there with you. Every tear you cry are my tears first. He even uses that picture of putting our tears in a bottle and storing them up so that when we get home to God in glory, who lavished his love on us as children of God, he can give us as many good days and happy times as sorrow and tears we had on this earth, and a million times more. To the deep wells he leads us to. Dew in the grass, deep wells, and the third source of clean water, you guessed, was streams and rivers. But the shepherd is always trying to get you to the high mountain streams and rivers, where the pristine meadows are so beautiful there, and that water coming off the snow-capped mountains is as clear and clean as you've never experienced, you flatlanders down here in the Midwest. We used to go on family picnics up to Broken Top and ask our mom and dad, can we go up over the ridge there? Yeah. So we were old enough to hike up over the ridge of what was actually a volcanic crater. And there were streams up there. And as long as the water is flowing, living water over the rocks, it's clean and you can drink it. It is just so refreshing. When my family moved from the prairie to Denver, Colorado, my mother still talks about how she would go to the faucet and just drink that mountain water because it was so sweet and so refreshing. That's what the shepherd wants for you, good, clean, pure water. Every time I see bottled water, I think about my trips to China and how they told us very pointedly, don't drink water from anywhere in China unless it's bottled water. You brush your teeth with bottled water. You don't want the other stuff inside because they know it's polluted and they can't do anything about it. And all of us say, oh, well, we sure don't want pollution in our water either. What do the sheep do when the shepherd is trying to lead them up to that pure, clean water? The ewes will stop with their little lambs at every dirty mud puddle along the way. And they teach their lambs to do the same thing. They want to drink from water that is polluted not just by the mud, but from by the manure and urine of the passing flocks. Oh, and they feel so refreshed and everything's fine. like people who go and hear preachers who go on and on with their stories, and they're inspiring stories that make you feel so good, like you could tackle the world. And I don't see what the problem is, the sheep says. I don't think it hurts anybody, long as you feel good about yourself. And the sheep come away from the mud puddles, and they've had that polluted, stinking water, but they don't know any better. And the little ewes and the lambs, they've just drunk it all in, sucked it all up. And the parasites start to grow inside their system, the nematodes and the flukes that just get in there and devour that animal from the inside, the way false doctrine will destroy your soul. Because you chose to stop at the dirty water and teach your children the same thing. God help us. If I put two glasses of water on the table and told you that, well, one of them's clean and one of them just has a tiny drop of toilet water in it, you think you're still thirsty, or you think you maybe wait a little while? And we stupid Americans, oh, you can get to heaven any way, any which way. You know, just go to church and feel good and come home. The good shepherd loves his sheep. There is no substitute for Jesus. He laid down his life for his sheep and shed his blood to prove his love for you, yes. But to wash away every stupid idea from this head of mine, every foolish, arrogant thought that I'm fine by myself, to purify your soul, because he wants you to flourish and grow under his care on this earth, so that he can have you safe and home in the high mountain pastures of heaven. He leads you beside the quiet waters, to the streams that are flowing clean and pure, that are so clearly stated and kept so clean in the Word of God, and the sacraments that bring to us that precious good news of sins forgiven, so that the Holy Spirit can do his work of giving you peace, taking away your anxiety, making you strong in the Lord and not in your own strength. The Lord is my shepherd. I pray for you, my dear fellow sheep, that you will be so enamored and so in love with the sound of his voice that if I ever stop speaking it or ever go contrary to Scripture, you'll leave me far behind. Follow the good shepherd. He will never mislead you. His word of life takes you home to glory. He leads me beside quiet waters. Amen.